Does that green thumb have your grass looking a little brown? Let the experts at Rosie on the House bring the life back to your lawn. Talk to the pros now at 1-888-ROSIE4U.
And a great big welcome back to you all here at Rosie on the House. We're in the garden. Let's get to calls. We've been challenged here just a bit, but I think we've worked our way through all of it. Let's see if we can bring Miss Carol into the conversation. Carol, calling from Gilbert. How can we help you this morning, my dear?
Hey, so I planted some Tacomas, and they're Lydia, and they're between a peach tree that's done really well last year, and a tangerine and tangelo. And two of the ones between the tangerine and the peach tree just died for some reason. And now the one on the other side of the peach tree just up and died, too. And so far it's got one next to it, and it doesn't look like it's dying, but I don't want it to die. Do we have any idea what's going on?
Well, my guess would be that you have a caterpillar on there. They've showed up last year about this time, maybe a little later than right now, and we've been seeing them, you know, starting all summer, really.
Okay.
I have a couple of different kinds of Tacomas at my house, and I've had them off and on a little bit this summer. That's sure my first guess. It probably isn't the heat, and if you're watering them adequately, and they look like just kind of the leaves are disappearing and kind of turning brown and going away.
Yeah, they did. Just all of a sudden looks like it just kind of shrivels up.
My guess is you have a certain caterpillar on there that's probably devastating the plant, and you need to treat for that using, you know, bacillus or Thuricide or Dipel or Spinosad or any one of the insecticides that your local nursery could prescribe to you that would take care of it.
And that's a powder. You just kind of sprinkle it all over the place?
It can be either a powder, or you can mix it in a spray, or you can buy it ready
sprayer.
To use,
yeah.
Or a number of different ways. And it's safe. Most of them are natural or non-toxic. And
does it actually have to contact the caterpillar, or you just treat the plant and the caterpillar finds it?
It depends on which one you buy.
Oh.
Some of them would have to contact the caterpillar. Things like bacillus, they have to actually ingest it for it to be effective. So, you'd need to probably ask a few questions. I would suggest taking some sample for her to cut off a piece of the plant, take it into the nursery, let them inspect it. They can tell pretty quick.
That's always a great way to troubleshoot
it. It sure saves selling the wrong product to do the wrong job.
Now, I will say, I was at your yard once when somebody put a clipping of something into a bag. It had apparently sat on their dashboard for a couple days.
Yeah, I don't want.
And then they wanted. What's the young man's name at the Hayden store?
Mark.
Then they wanted Mark to analyze what's wrong with this plant. He says, "Well, I think it's been in the plastic bag on your dashboard too long."
Yeah, you know, in plastic or out of plastic, cut it off and then drive to the nursery pretty immediately.
Yeah.
In fact, put a little wet paper towel in there with it to kind of keep it fresh. Doesn't take very long for them to dry out.
Yeah,
and then it's really hard to tell. And the other thing that's really hard, just while we're on that subject, everybody's got cameras on their phones these days.
Yeah, just about.
So they take this picture on their cell phone and they bring it in. It's really tough to diagnose something with a little 2-inch picture. If you can blow that picture up or print it out, on your computer and your printer, and bring it in, or bring your laptop in, or something that it can be seen, you know, in something reasonable size.
Does anybody buy those anymore still?
I have one. Your iPad, whatever you got, your tablet. Is that better?
All right.
Something bigger than a 2-inch screen.
That's hard.
For diagnosis.
That's hard. Let's see if we can bring Tony in from Queen Creek.
As you do, I've had a couple calls. What was the product, Jay? And I am so embarrassed, I can't remember off the top of my head, for spurge in the lawn.
Well, the pre-emergent is Dimension.
Okay, that's to keep anything from coming up.
That's pre-emergent. Post-emergent is a product Fertilome makes it called Weed Out Plus Q. We sell a product that's called
Fertilome
Q.
Right.
It's the Quinlarac that's in that that does a great job on the spurge. And you can buy that in a ready-to-use form or a concentrate form.
How about
so a combination of the two.
How about the MSMA I still have on a shelf?
That wouldn't work on the spurge so much.
It
would work on crabgrasses, grassy type weeds.
That hasn't that been available by retail for a couple of years, right? That,
correct.
That MSMA is dated on my
the
shelf.
The Quinlarac, the Q product, is what has taken the place of the MSMA.
Well, Fertilome Weed Out is doing a great job on the spurge in my yard. Okay, let's go to Tony in Queen Creek. We brought him up. Tony, we had to finish that one little conversation there. We had some other callers call and wanted to answer for that. Now it's your turn.
Okay, great. Well, I've got a, I don't know how tall they are. They're close to probably 100, 150 feet tall, two Italian spruce or cypress trees. And one of them, the trunk has basically over the years divided into three individual trunks. I mean, you can literally stick a, you know, about a one-inch piece of wood in it. You know, all the way into it, and I'm just curious if that's going to be something that, that is going to cause the tree to die. Is there anything I can do to protect it? Or
okay,
I don't know, any
so is it pretty fresh or has it healed over already?
Oh, it's been that. I bought the house in October, and it was that way, and it looks like it's almost bark in there now.
Yeah, if it's already healed, you know, over, I probably wouldn't do. I don't know that there's anything that would help you much.
Okay.
You know, and it's obviously, it's lived that way for a while, so
yeah,
probably not much. We can do things, you know, when they split, in this time of year we see that with the monsoons, we'll get a limb that'll crack or split. There are some things that you can do, believe it or not. You can drill holes through, bolt, you know, all the way through and bolt them back together.
Huh.
There's some stuff like that. They'll knit back together. But if it's already, you know, sealed itself off and healed over, I wouldn't probably mess with it.
Prettiest mesquite tree I have in my yard's bolted together and cabled together and,
yeah,
you know, just holding it all together. Let's go to Randy down in Chandler. Randy, good morning.
Yep. Good morning. How are you, folks?
Very well. Very well.
A two-part question, I guess, two issues. A bougainvillea and a tree that I'm, a hibiscus and a tree I have. We had a real hard freeze this last winter, and all, everything around here, you know, got frozen back. My hibiscus, I had to cut it back. It was as high as the roof line, and now it's about 3 feet high, and it is just not growing, not hardly at all. It's got foliage, mm-hmm. and some of the foliage is, I mean, really nice green, and now I notice some are even turning yellow. So I don't know what the deal is, but it is not growing like it has in the past. And then the second part is a tree, which is a Chinese pistachio. I talked to you guys last year because it was long and spindly, and I only had leaves on the ends of the branches, and you folks suggested I cut off at least a third of the length of the branches, and I did, and it's filled in the branches. I got leaves everywhere, but still very sparse. It is not a full tree and growing very slowly. I was wondering what suggestions do you have for me?
Well, Chinese pistache is a slow grower, number one. So don't expect it to grow 4, 5, 6 feet a year like a mesquite or a sisu or something else you might be accustomed to. So it is slower growing. How are you fertilizing the hibiscus as well as the trees?
I have had, not have had, the typical stuff I have is just the Miracle-Gro granular that you mix with water, and that's what I have on hand.
If you're using Miracle-Gro that you mix with water, you have to use it every 7 to 14 days through the growing season. So, and I bet you're not doing that. I don't know anybody that fertilizes trees and shrubs
that often.
Once a week.
So how?
I don't blame you. I wouldn't do it either.
Yeah. So how would you get a longer?
I would go to a granular tree and shrub type fertilizer, something by the folks at Organo, the folks at Fertilome. They make great granular products. They're slower releasing. They'll last 2 to 3 to 4 months.
Gotta love
that. And so you do it about 3 times a year. And you'll have much better success. And I think the yellow foliage on the hibiscus is what kind of tipped me off, is you're just not fertilizing enough.
There you go, Randy. From there, we're going to go to Robert in Phoenix. Robert, thank you for calling. You're in the garden at Rosie on the House with John J. Harper. How can we help you, my friend?
Hi, guys. I planted like 2 Chilean mesquites in the front yard about 8 years ago, and the one on the west side is a nice shape, 20 feet. Neither tree has been ever watered, but the one on the east side, it's reaching like 40 feet, and it just grows and grows, and it's because it's feeding off my neighbor, mm-hmm. whose yard is sprinkled. And I just wonder, there's a root that's obvious just below the surface of the ground. Could I cut that root? Would that make any difference, and would it jeopardize the tree?
I guess my first question is why? Why do you want to? Do you not want it to grow?
It's out of control. It's far above the roof line. It's crowding out the other tree, and we have to prune it. Every time we have, every other quarterly pickup, I prune it. It just grows too much.
So can you regulate a tree growth by selectively surgically removing
the roots?
Okay, John Jay, how are you going to answer this one?
You can try, but my experience would tell me that mesquite tree has, the other roots. The roots are going to grow back quickly. There's moisture present there. It's a lot easier to trim the foliage back than it is to go in and continually root prune the tree, I think. So I think you've got a couple of options. Get your neighbor to take his lawn out. remove the tree, or just prune it a couple, three times a year. And maybe prune it more severely than you're pruning it so you don't have to do it as often. That's a thought.
Not being an arborist, I would say root pruning is kind of like open heart surgery. I mean, you're inheriting some risk there. One cut too much, and you've
and it's not the easiest thing to do. And which root, and where do you prune it? And it's probably not a path you necessarily want to go down. And I'll go back to it's just a lot easier to prune branches and foliage. Back than it is to start digging around and finding roots and cutting roots.
And then there's the other end of that. Once you are as high as that tree is, those top, high trimming does get to be a little problematic.
Yeah, and I think probably once you get a tree that's that big, it might be something that he would like to have John Eisenhower come in or somebody and give him an idea as to what he can do.
And I hate to interject, but we are on a tight clock, so we're going to take a break and be right back.